Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. I'm really glad that you've tuned into the program this morning. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the lead pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in Ottawa, and I've been pastoring there for 27 years. One of the things I love to do is to show how God's Word that was written a long time ago connects with our world right now. You know, I know that some of you who are listening have been followers of Jesus for a very long time. I know others of you think of yourself as spiritual, but you're not really sure about this Christian thing. And I know others of you are just curious of how people of faith think. I trust that wherever you are on your spiritual journey, that you'll find this program interesting and informative. And I believe that for those of you who desire it, God can use a program like this to take you another step closer to Him. This morning, I want to talk to those of you who are just starting to walk with Christ. Those of you who, and those of you who are walking with those who have just started to walk with Christ. You see, we're all on a spiritual journey, but we're at different places on that journey. And it's helpful to know what to expect when you hit certain stages of your journey. This morning, I'm going to look at beginning with Christ. Now, we all start the journey in the same place. The Bible says that we were dead in our transgressions and sins. It says that none of us are righteous, not even one. However you describe that state, whether it be lost or unsaved or not a Christian, we are outside of Christ. That is where all of us start the spiritual journey. Now, to start your spiritual journey with Christ, we have to pass through what the Bible sometimes describes as a door. Now, there are many paths to get to that door, but there is only one door by which you can enter the new life. Some of you searched for the door a good long while. Some of you, like me, had parents point you towards the door. Sometimes hardship and trouble drive us towards the door. The Spirit of God is constantly nudging us towards the door, but you must pass through the door in order to enter this new life. The door is not a church door or a religious door. The Bible describes the door as narrow. The door is Jesus Himself. To enter this new life, we need to come through Jesus. That means humbling ourselves and admitting that we have sinned and broken God's laws and that we want a relationship with God. But we can't do it on our own. We need Jesus to perform a miracle on our behalf. We need Him to take our sins away and give us a new life. So some of you may be saying, well, I'm ready to pass through the door, but how? How do I do that? Well, the Bible, talking about Jesus, says, to as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power to become children of God. To pass through the door, it's as simple as receiving all of who Jesus is into your life. Jesus is our Savior, for He came to save His people from their sins. So you receive Him as Savior. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. We receive Him into our lives as the one who we are going to follow. Jesus is King, and so we receive Him into our lives as the one we're going to serve. Jesus also lets us know that He wants to be our friend, so we receive Him into our lives as the one who we're going to have a relationship with. You know, most people walk through the door through prayer. praying a prayer like, Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. I receive you as my Savior, the one who forgives my sins. I receive you as my shepherd, the one who I follow. I receive you, Lord, as the one who I serve, and I want to be your friend. I receive all that you are into my life, and I'll trust you with my life. You know, the words aren't important, but receiving Jesus in faith, trusting him to do what he said he would do, is important. See, it sets in motion a lot of spiritual realities. You are forgiven, you're made new, you're given Christ's life, you're made a child of God, you pass through the door. What we find on the other side of the door is this new life. The Bible describes us as moving from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We're moving into the king's territory where he rules and where things are different. We go through the door that is Jesus, and in doing so, we commit ourselves to follow Jesus. We put our lives in his hands. There are many labels for walking through the door, becoming a Christian, being saved, but the label I'm going to use today is one that Jesus used, the label of being born again. When you walk through the door, you are born again. In John chapter 3, Jesus was talking about being born again. In a dialogue between himself and a religious teacher named Nicodemus, Jesus says it's not about being born again physically, but you're born anew spiritually when you walk through that door. You are a spiritual newborn. You are a babe in Christ, an infant in Christ. Now babies are cute. I love babies. I love it when they giggle and they smile at you. And they are great until they smear you with projectile vomit. They're awesome, but sometimes they're really smelly. They are wonderful, but sometimes they will keep you up all night. And the thing you'll notice about babies is that from their perspective, life is all about them. I'm hungry. Wah. I'm dirty. Wah. I don't want what I want. Wah. Well, it's the same with the spiritual life. New Christians are awesome to be around, and they're messy. It's great to have them as part of the family of God, and sometimes they can make your hair turn gray. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth is immature. Paul is frustrated with them because he feels like they should be further along their spiritual journey than they are. But in many ways, they're still stuck at the first level of spiritual growth. So for our purposes, we're going to overlook Paul's frustrations and see what he means by infants in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, merely infants in Christ. You know, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apostle, are you not mere human beings?" This tells us something about people who are mere infants in Christ. They're not living by the Spirit. They need a special diet because they cannot handle all of God's truth. They're still worldly. They're reacting to situations like they always have reacted to situations. There is jealousy and there's quarreling. They're taking on sides on issues they shouldn't take sides on. Paul's the best, Apollo's the best, when the reality is that our faith is about Jesus. There are just some things that often happen when people are born again, and sometimes it's just messy. See, the goal of our spiritual journey, where we're ultimately journeying to, is this deep, substantial love relationship with God. But at this stage, a spiritual newborn, God is a becomes a means to my lifelong desire of security and happiness. God is going to help me to become happy. Life is all about me and what I want, and God's going to help me to get it. Most likely our lifestyle is at the beginning of our walk with Christ is largely reflective of the world's agenda. Our schedule, our time, our money are all built around family, work, and entertainment. We can't really see how God relates to any of these. There is sin, but we don't really think about it as sin. How we treat people we're in relationship with, how we treat ourselves are often divorced from the fact that we've come into this relationship with Jesus. But you know what? You have to start somewhere. It would be pretty crazy for parents to say to their baby, "You smell, I'm not going near you." It'd be pretty crazy for a church to look at newborn Christians and say, "You smell, I'm not going near you." But I've seen it done. I love being around new Christians. But sometimes it is really awkward as well. I've been a part of some really awkward conversations. You know, if before you became a Christian, your coping mechanism when things go wrong is to go out and get drunk, after you become a Christian and things go wrong, your coping mechanism is still to go out and get drunk, and then you call your pastor. You know, awkward conversations. But you know what? We all have to start somewhere. And there's some real challenges and some severe dangers in this part of the spiritual journey. The fact that we have changed sides and gone from the kingdom of darkness and come into the kingdom of light, well, you know that the enemy of our soul is going to try to destroy their faith. Temptations are rampant. Some of those temptations come from the enemy of our soul, and others come from our own desires. And some come from our social network because the people we hang around don't want us to change. And what we value, well, it's in flux. You know, we used to value what the world valued, but now God has given us a different love, and temptation is strong, and it is real. And at this point, shame is often a real factor. You know, people who are just born into the faith and they're newborn Christians, they start hanging out with Christians who have walked with Jesus for a long while, and they look at these Christians, and it looks like they have things together, and looks like things are going well in their life, and they go to church, and people are smiling, and yet they're trying to figure out, you know, how to think about themselves in light of who they were and who they are, and they don't feel like they have it all together, and they're trying to figure out, do I fit here? Yet at the same time, often there's something good, wonderful happening on the inside. People love Jesus and they feel themselves coming alive, and there's this wonder that God loves them and they can sense Christ near them, and they're getting new insights into what the spiritual life means, and it is pretty incredible. And so there's this tug of war between this new life and this old life, and what they're experiencing, they keep on walking, but it's messy. Well, we're going to take a break here and listen to a song from the Heart of Worship album called "Draw Me Close to You."
Help me know you are near.
Let me talk to those of you who are at this first stage of your spiritual journey. I'm so glad that you've chosen to follow Jesus. I want you to know that you can't make yourself grow spiritually, but there are ways to cooperate with God that will help you to grow. Think of your spiritual life as a plant. If a plant is fed right and watered right and put in the right kind of sunlight, it'll grow. Unless, of course, you put too much poison in the pot. Your spiritual life will grow if it's fed right and you don't put too much poison around it. See, you don't have to force yourself to grow. You just have to cooperate with God and He'll cause you to grow. The metaphor that Paul uses in the passage we've been looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is about building a house. Verse 10 says this, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." He goes on to say, you know, you can build well, or you can build poorly, but we're all building. And you are constructing your spiritual life. You have the foundation. It is Jesus. He saved you. He's forgiven your sins. He's come into your life. Your spiritual life rests on Him and the work that He did for you on the cross. That is your foundation. Never leave your foundation. Your spiritual life rests on Jesus. It's about Jesus. Now, you can lose sight of that and think it's all about you, but don't. It is about Jesus. Now, there are some things that you can do to cooperate with God to build well. The first thing is to learn to pray openly and honestly about what's going on in your heart. Prayer is simply talking to God. You know, He can hear you when you pray silently. But if you have a place and a space, it's sometimes helpful to pray out loud. When you are confused about God or what is going on in your life, pray about it. When you see something that you are grateful for, thank God for it. When you have something that you need, ask God for it. See, you build strong spiritual foundations when you learn to bring your life to God in prayer. When you're open and honest with God in prayer, it makes a difference. Also, listen to those little nudges in your heart as to what's right and wrong. God has a way of speaking to us. Prayer is meant to be a conversation. The next thing that you can do to build well is Bible study. I usually recommend that people start in the Gospel of John. You can look it up in the index in the front of your Bible. It will tell you the story of Jesus. Now, unlike most books, do not try to read the Bible from the front to the back. Some of those books at the very start of the Bible, well, they are boring until you figure out what's going on. That can be discouraging for your spiritual life and the practice of reading Scripture. The Bible is divided up into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. You'll see that in the index in the front of your Bible. Stick with the New Testament until you're really familiar with it. Then you can move to the Old Testament. So there are prayer and there's Bible study, those two things. And then you start to ask God if there's anything that I need to change in the way that I'm living. And you'll see God will begin the task of getting rid of sin, showing you how to do good. How you live is important. See, if you don't deal with sin that God points out to you, then that's a way of poisoning your spiritual life. But remember, God isn't asking you to deal with these things to make your life harder or to make your life less fun. He wants to make your life better, and you can trust Him with that. See, God's good, and He's a whole lot smarter than you are, and He knows what it's going to take for you to live your best life. Let me say a word to those of you who struggle with addictions. What you're struggling with is really hard. You know, I've watched God as God has taken some people's addictions away with a seeming snap of His fingers. I've watched as others who've had to really struggle with their addictions. And I've come to the conclusion that if Jesus doesn't immediately remove your addiction, then there's something He really, really important that He wants to teach you in the struggle. He wants to teach you about depending on Him. He wants to teach you His ways. Know that even when you blow it and you sin, and that He is loving and forgiving and merciful. He wants to lead you into a deep love relationship with Himself. So learn to keep short accounts with God. What I mean by that is that if you sin, you come back to God quickly and you confess your sin. And you say, "Lord, you know, I acknowledge that what I did was wrong. Please forgive me." You know, one of Satan's primary tools is shame. He wants you to wallow in self-loathing, but that's not God's way. Shame is not from God. Guilt is not from God. God convicts us and to let you know that what you did was wrong, but His desire is that you walk in freedom from sin and shame and guilt. And so when you sin, confess your sin, ask God to forgive you, and He does and He will. Even if you're coming back time and time again, He is always merciful because He really wants what is best for you. What happens in all this is God is going to show you more and more of His heart. And He's also going to show you more and more of yourself. And when you get to know who you are and who He is, it leads to humility because you'll be in awe of who He is. If you're at this stage, I would urge you, if at all possible, to get into a small group that will nurture your faith. These are sometimes a challenge, but they're really important. Now, let me speak to those of you as fellow Christians who have friends who have just stepped into the kingdom of God. You know, if we don't love people whose lives are messy, then we probably haven't grown up and gone far enough in our spiritual journey ourselves. See, new Christians have a way of keeping us real and authentic and fresh, so I want you to embrace the mess. Over the years, I've come to the conclusion that God will only entrust us with His new children if we have the capacity and willingness to love them. The last thing new Christians need is, struggle in their new life is judgment from you. It's God's job to convict, and it's your job to nurture and encourage. Just as new babies have needs, so those who have just been born again have needs as well. Their primary need is to have spiritual friends or mentors or coaches. This involves friendship, but friendship where we can talk about all of life. Being willing to listen is important. See, when life is messy, having someone to talk to is really important. But if you're the one listening, don't jump in too quickly to speak to an issue. Don't try to give advice really quickly. Just listen. These kind of friendships are where you can read the Bible and search the Bible together for answers and pray together. And these relationships, they matter. These relationships may last only a year or two, or they may last a lifetime, but they're really important. I have to ask you, are you willing to enter into that kind of relationship with a few people who God would lead across your path? Would you ask God to bring someone into your life like that? That would mean embracing the mess and the disruptions that sometimes happen. That would mean welcoming them into our small groups and into our lives. And that would mean becoming spiritual friends or coaches or members. Maybe God has already put someone in your path and they're beginning their walk with Christ. Are you willing to embrace the uncertainty and just walk with them? This morning we have looked at the first part of our spiritual journey. There are many different paths to get to the door into life with Christ, but there's only one door. The door is Christ Himself. We pass through that door by receiving all of who Christ is in our life. He's our Savior, and He forgives our sins. And He's the Good Shepherd, the one who we follow. He's the King, the one who we serve. He's our friend and the one who we walk with. We receive all of who Jesus is into our lives, and He gives us a new life. And this goal of this journey with Christ is this deepening love relationship with the God of the universe. We're on the spiritual journey, and when you first step into it, it is a challenge, but it is an exciting adventure as well. I would urge you, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, take one more step with God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for those people who are listening who are just brand new Christians. I ask that You would help them on their spiritual journey to set a good foundation with You. Bless those who are walking with them, and Lord, give them faith and eyes to see what God sees in them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Well, thank you for listening to Good News in the Morning. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of God's faithful people. My name is Brent Russett, and it has been a privilege to bring you Good News in the Morning.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K J2R5 Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.